Welcome to the Morning Struggle podcast. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Ty. We bring you habits of successful people. What are we talking about today?
Ballet.
Like the dancing?
Ballet dancing.
We're going to learn how to dance ballet.
Through a podcast.
Let's do it.
Activate. So you know how every single time you say that I have certain subjects and that I have ulterior motives?
Uh-huh.
This absolutely was one. Confirmed.
Yeah, I know. So tell everybody what happened. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Morning Struggle Podcast. We bring you habits of successful people.
Yes.
Today, we're taking a little detour. So it's not something you do in your mind or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesse was a ballerina growing up.
Yep.
And she's always tried to get me to a ballet class.
Well, because I go like a mom's group.
You have a mom's ballet class.
Yeah, that I go to every week at In Motion, actually here in Eagle Mountain with Miss Lee, who is fantastic.
Professional ballerina. Yeah, no big deal.
Fantastic.
Yep. Yeah. Actually, if you're in our area in Utah, In Motion is one of the best dance studios. I can't say enough good things about it.
Yeah.
But they have adult classes too.
Yeah, they do.
And you got me to go to ballet.
So not only was this your first ballet class.
It was my first dance class.
It was your first dance class.
And how'd I do?
You did so good. In fact, I was kind of mad.
I'm a good leaper.
You're a good leaper.
I can leap.
It's all those squats you do.
You know what I was upset about though?
What were you upset?
I didn't get the floofy shirt and the and the tights with the codpiece thing. Why do I have to, how many do I have to go to? How many classes do I have to go to get the whole guy ballet get up?
Do you think it's provided?
I can't just buy it.
You provide your own.
Where do you go? The Dude Ballet Store? Dude Ballets R Us? They don't make these things.
It's a very specific outfit.
It's not like
though,
I'm in the mall and it's like, oh, there's the Fanatics or whatever where I get my MLB caps and here's my sneaker shop. I'll get a piece of pizza and I'll get a cod piece for my tights. That doesn't happen. What do you mean? Where do I go?
It's probably on the internet.
So anyway, I went to a ballet class, to be honest with you, and a hip hop class.
And a hip hop class.
So we did two classes.
Yes.
Hip hop, I was very uncomfortable with.
And to be fair, the hip hop sequence that we did was very sexy.
And I was the only guy. I was the only guy in the class. Mm-hmm. And it was a very feminine centric. And even Miss Lee said, hey, you can do some more masculine stuff. And I said, I'm going to bring out
my feminine.
And I brought out my feminine
side. You shook that booty.
I did some booty shakes.
Yeah.
And it was actually very liberating.
Yeah, okay.
So I got way out of my comfort zone, but I enjoyed it. So all of you guys out there who are driving your trucks and say, I'd throw footballs. Like, you know what? Throw on some tights. I threw on some tightish sweats.
You had like some yogi type.
Yeah, I got
pants,
like my running pants. Mm-hmm. So I threw them on and I went to dance and I did some leaps and some ballerina hands. It was a lot of fun.
You did. Well, and what I thought was interesting is that it was hard, wasn't it?
It was so hard. You think it's so easy. You go, oh my gosh, they're just standing on their toes. It was the hardest thing. I was sweating and my legs were shaking. Mm-hmm. My arms. I wasn't even holding anything up. It wasn't like I was lifting you ladies up or anything. I was just holding my arms above my head for a while.
Yeah.
I was shaking all over. It was amazing.
It's really interesting because like having you, because you do work out, you're very athletic and just naturally athletic too, just naturally good at these things. And so, although the leaping, when you did such a beautiful leap, the male, I was just like, okay, ladies, he's coming in here and just showing us all up. Okay.
No big deal. So anyway, we digress. We can talk about me and my ballet prowess all day long, but let's talk about ballet. So we're going to talk about like just dance in general or ballet?
Well, ballet specific, because I do want to go into dance in general.
Okay.
But the reason why I did ballet specifically is because it is a very, very specific technical dance.
Okay.
And it does very specific things to your brain.
So if you're an adult, go find an adult beginner ballet class or intermediate or advanced. If you're a ballerina already, whatever, don't listen to this.
Yes. But
if you
tune it out.
If you're not, like, go find a ballet class. It is super beneficial for your brain on multiple levels.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's get into some history, some science, some action plan, coffee review, and by the end of this, we'll be ballerinas.
Absolutely.
Here we go. This day in history. So I was going to do a comprehensive history of ballet. The longest article I could find is 2 pages.
What?
Ballet started in the Italian Renaissance in the 15th century during lavish events. They had big old hats and they did little hops, and that's all they did. They had big hats and they did little hops. It was during like wedding celebrations, and the masters taught the steps to all the nobility. So imagine you're in a Renaissance court.
Okay.
You're a lord or a lady.
Yeah.
Your kiddo's getting married.
Uh-huh.
Everybody puts on a froofy hat and does little hops around the wedding reception.
It reminds
That's
me of
ballet.
Like, is it like the birds that hop around and like go like, look at me, look at me.
Yep. In the 16th century, Catherine de' Medici, the Medici families are a very fierce and prominent Italian family.
Okay.
Really enjoyed the ballet from France. So they brought it over from France. And then there was some things like the Ballet de Cour. It was a program that included dance, decor, costume, song, music, and poetry.
Oh,
wow. So it had a whole bunch of stuff. Then King Louis, the, what is that, 14th? He helped popularize and standardize the art form. And he was a passionate dancer himself.
Oh.
Passionate dancer.
I bet he had a codpiece.
Yep. He even performed in The Sun King. Yep. I don't know if that's is that a ballet?
Or maybe yeah.
Yeah, that was his part in the ballet. But by 1661, the Dance Academy had opened up in Paris. 1681, it moved from like the courts, which is, you know, nobility, to the actual stage.
So
we're talking
I see.
The 1600s, it became a stage performance.
Oh, so before it was more of like a group gathering kind of thing?
It was a wedding. It was a wedding celebration.
Oh, everybody
dance.
Got to hop
that's,
around?
That's all they did. Then the French opera started incorporating ballet and ballet elements into the opera. And this was in like the mid-1700s. And then they said, nope, ballet, and we're going to do our own thing. We are so good, we're going to start doing ballets with narratives.
Okay.
So in the 19th century, a lot of classical ballet, a lot of Russian ballet, this was called the Romantic Movement in the first half century of the 19th century. It was art and music, and it was passive and fragile. It's where you got the thin ballerinas on their tippy toes, and that's known as point.
Yes,
being
going on point.
On point work. And they initially had a romantic tutu, which is a long flowing tutu.
Yes.
And then in Russia, in the later half of the 19th century, things like the Nutcracker came out, and they got into the classical tutu, which is the one that sticks out.
Yes,
because
it's stiff.
It's stiff because you wanted to see the dancers' legs.
Yes, because it elongates their legs.
It elongates their legs, and then you get to see all their technical movements. And then ballet today is all over the board. You can do ballet to rap. Doesn't matter. People are all over the place. So anyway, that was my history segment. Way too fast. So I'm going to go over some fascinating other types of dances.
Ooh.
You ready?
Yes.
All right. So here we go. I'm just going to go over a couple of this. Do you know what the dance of death is?
What is the dance of death? Is it something you do at a funeral?
The Diddy Wine. Have you ever seen the Diddy Wine? It's a Jamaican dance. It's where the ladies get down and then they snap their neck around.
Oh.
Have you seen that?
I have.
It's a Jamaican that involves gyrations of the neck. Jamaican doctors have put out PSAs, public safety announcements, saying, do not do the Diddy Wine. Ladies are breaking necks.
What?
And dudes are probably tripping all over the place, turning around, trying to look at the Diddy Wine girls.
What is it called? A Diddy Wine?
Diddy Wine or Diddy Wine? D-U-T-T-W-I-N-E.
And they're whipping their head around.
Is
it part of like with their hair?
They're getting fractures. They're getting neck fractures.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is legitimate.
Yep.
This isn't just like you're snapping your neck. You're getting fractures in your neck.
Yep. DJ Tony Matterhorn, he like coined the term.
Hold on, DJ.
Even Beyonce used this. And she's got to be the most influential singer, songwriter, dancer, duty whiner of our time.
So I wasn't on board until you said Beyonce.
I blame that one. You ready? The next one? Hokey Pokey? Do you know the Hokey Pokies?
This up.
No, I'm not. This is legitimate. The Hokey Pokey is 200 years old and hotly contested.
What?
Yep. The Hokey Pokey, a.k.a. the Hokey Cokey.
Oh.
I don't know what that means.
Seems.
One of the earliest versions of the song was the Hinkum Booby. It was a Scottish folk song from 1826.
Wait, so this is Scottish?
The Hokey Pokey is Scottish. 1866, popular rhymes of Scotland. But it was a mockery of Catholic Mass. Have you done Catholic Mass? You kneel down, you stand up, you sit. You kneel, you stand, you sit, you cross, you go up, you get your hands. Like, it is an exercise.
Yeah.
It's Pilates
for
God. That's what Catholic Mass is. And the Hokey Pokey was making fun of Catholic Mass.
Oh, no joke.
Yep. The name came from Hocus Pocus, one of the best movies of our time. I'm not sure if that's true. But anyway.
It is.
It came to North America and actually Canada. A Canadian soldier suggested the word cokey would be better than pokey because it was Canadian slang for crazy. So it's the hokey crazy.
It's hokey crazy.
It's hokey and it's crazy.
And anyway, now we teach all of our kindergartners it.
Yep. Yep. Hula? Do you know the hula from Hawaii?
Yeah, this I'm aware of that.
Yeah, it used to be accompanied by chanted poetry, and each gesture of the dance held a deep meaning.
Very specific.
Like,
yeah,
sacred text of Hawaiian people. It was a
very
dance,
spiritual.
It was like dance language. Mm-hmm. So it was a big deal, and now we've Americanized it, and they get up there for entertainment. So, but hula was banned by missionaries who landed on the island in 1800s. Way too many gyrations. Way too
Even
many
though
hits.
It was a spiritual practice yep. for them, I guess that they would because they're yep. missionaries.
All those
too.
Missionaries.
Yeah.
So there's two types of hula: hula kahiko and hula ohana.
Ooh, what are the difference?
The hula kahiko is the traditional methods, and hula ohana is the kind we're familiar with today in contemporary culture.
Oh, so more of like a traditional, not a traditional, but like a dance, entertainment dance.
Uh huh.
Gotcha. Yep. Okay.
All right, you ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Okay, just got a couple more. Okay. The chicken dance is not a chicken dance.
What?
Yeah, so the chicken dance, you know the chicken dance? Yep. It doesn't have to do with chickens in any way. It was initially called the duck dance. It was all about ducks. It was composed by Swiss accordion player Werner Thomas. Do you know Werner Thomas?
I very well. We talk all the time.
Do you know the old the funny saying? It says an accordion player put his accordion in the back of his car, and when he came back, someone had broken out his window and thrown in another accordion.
Oh, no.
So, but anyway, invented the song or wrote this song. It's called the Duck Dance, and it had bird-like movements, and he initially named it the Chirp Chirp after birds.
Okay.
So it had nothing to do with frickin' chickens. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, a Dutch publisher added words to it. Didn't have any words, right?
Okay, yeah.
But this Dutch guy, he starts adding words and spreads it all across Europe. So it wasn't a chicken dance. It was called the little bird dance or the birdie dance.
Okay.
So he's got words. I don't know what the words were. They didn't say it in here, but it's probably some quacks and chirps and all sorts of fun stuff about little
and
birdies.
And you wiggle your bottom.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Then, so both in US and in Europe, the dance had a history being like thrown around until finally making it big and becoming famous after years of modest acclaim, and publisher Stanley Mills acquired the publishing rights in the US, but he only called it Dance Little Bird because the title sounded more commercial than Little Bird Dance. So it was Dance Little Bird. He bought the song, and then a record label decided to turn it into the Chicken Dance.
What in the world? I mean, obviously these dances had to come from somewhere, but like the only time the chicken dance is a big thing, like Oktoberfest.
Mm-hmm.
They play with the accordion and you do your little chicken dance. That's nuts that like a record company owns that.
Yep, a record company owns it, and they decided to call it the Chicken Dance because they wanted to and it was fun. But Werner said, no, it's not about chickens, it's about ducks.
It's about ducks, guys.
So poor ducks, they're never getting any of the credit. the last one, you ready?
Yes.
La Cucaracha. Do you know what the cucaracha means?
Uh-huh.
You know what it means?
No.
You know what? It's the cockroach.
No, it's not.
La cucaracha is the cockroach in Spanish, and it has no standard lyrics. You can make them up. Doesn't matter. You can say whatever you want, because la cucaracha dates back to...
I thought it was more of like a little dance you do around a hat.
You can. Yeah, it is. It dates back to Mexico.
Okay.
Where it gained popularity, but... Some people say it dates back to the reign of Ferdinand and Isabella in Spain.
Whoa.
And the song is primarily associated with Mexico because it was used by both sides of the Mexican Revolution as propaganda songs. Because both of them were saying, you're a cockroach. You're no good. We're going to stomp you. We're going to dance around our hat.
Oh, is that why you're dancing around your hat?
So the lyrics of La Cucaracha were modified according to the values of the people who sang it, and was often heavily influenced by the events of the time. So if you're having a war... with those guys, you're going to sing the cucaracha about how bad those people are and how you're going to squash them.
So, oh, no kidding.
Yep. The lyrics tend to focus on one person, the cockroach.
Uh-huh.
So maybe the leader of a general of an army or a mayor of a town.
Oh, and you put their name in the song.
You put their name in the song.
No
and the cockroach
way.
From which the song gets its name. So whoever the cockroach is determined by the lyrics and then the metaphors for whatever nefarious dealings the singer-songwriter believes to be going on.
What?
So the cockroach is taxing us too much. Dance around your hat.
Because you're going to stomp on him.
Yep. Anyway,
that is insane.
Next time you want to just really kind of stick it to your boss, just play La Cucaracha and then just stare at him.
Hmm. Like, you don't know what
I don't
this
like
means.
That new policy you put out. I want to wear my shorts in the office. So there you go. That's it.
You know what's funny about that? Because in war times, some of these songs come out like the Yankee Doodle Dandy. We mm-hmm. sing it for the 4th of July. It was actually the French making fun of Americans because they were haphazardly like Yankee Doodle went to town yep. riding on a pony. Like a pony, not a horse.
Can't even a horse.
Yeah. And so, but now we sing it and it's like 4th of July.
Because you
like,
own it. You own it, and that's now our song. And the French like, dang those guys.
Oh my goodness.
We'll go back to our opera and our ballet. So
exactly.
So there you go. So there's some history of ballet. There's some history of songs and dances that are probably more fun.
I figured out our next dance class we're going to.
A chicken dance class.
No. We're going to go to the death dance one where we whip our head around.
No way. No duty wines. We're not doing duty wines here. It's too scary. You got to work up to it. Disclaimer, whoa. We're not doctors.
Oh,
and we're not.
Why we don't need to be doctors to suggest dances?
No, we're not suggesting. We're suggesting don't do it. Consult your physician or your chiropractor before doing that one. All right, that's it.
Could you imagine the email? Like, I want to do the duty wind or whatever.
Yeah. Or what if I want to be a professional duty whiner? Do you work up to it? So, anyway, all right, there you go. There's
our hokey pokier.
A hokey pokier. Hokey cokier. Anyway, so there's our history of some ballet and some other dances. Mm-hmm. But let's get into the science and the brain chemistry and the body chemistry behind ballet specifically.
Yes.
Because it's very structured.
Mm-hmm.
It's very physical. But it is different than just going and doing some fun hip hop moves or something like that, right?
Yeah, every dance has its own place, I would say. Like the hip hop class is a ton of fun. But with ballet, it's very specific, more technical. And there's different muscles and different ways that your brain reacts to it.
Okay, all right, let's get into science.
Okay, so starting off with our science section, I am going to say that it is cardiovascular exercise. So
dances?
Dances in general. I mean,
depends on how duty whining you're going. Yeah.
Or hokey pokey.
Like how intense is your hokey pokey? How many legs are you putting in? I get it. But you know, dancing is incredibly cardiovascular.
It is. And that's not really what I'm focusing on. It's good for you, mind you. It's exertion through exercise. I think it's fantastic. And it has its own places in health and that kind of thing. We're not really going over that. We're going over the specific mental health pieces that really benefit you. So there was a group of studies that was done and they were fantastic. I have to tell you, like ballet studies, because ballet is already very structured as is.
Right.
And so you bring in studies where they can specifically look at it very mechanically, and they were very beautifully written. So I was a big fan. But what's specific about ballet technique is that you can have ballerinas who have been doing it for 12, 15 years.
Okay.
And you can have beginner ballerinas all in the same group, and they can all benefit from a class, the exact same instructor.
Like physical and mental? The whole gamut?
The whole piece of it. Okay. Because ballet very much is a individual journey, even as you're going through the class to do it. Even as you perform with a group, it really comes together and you're on your own individual journey there. So with ballet specifically, it improves balance and flexibility, and it requires you to train muscles not used during everyday life. They're literally muscles that you very, very rarely use, a lot of times for stability. So think about as you're pointing your toes or balancing in certain ways, you might do that a handful of times throughout the day. And during a ballet class, you're probably doing it hundreds of times.
Yeah, I was using my butt a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, how many times do you squat down? Like when we were doing pliés, you're doing each position at least 3 times, if not more.
For those of you who don't know, pliés, when you go point your toes out and you squat.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, that's what it is, but it's prettier than that, but yes. So there's this repetition and you're trying to exhaust those muscles. So it is very specific to this. So as we go through our aging life, and this particular study looked at as you get older and adults moving into ballet who have never done ballet. As you go through life, we tend to have a steady decline of our exercise and our physical ability, as you know. And the biggest part of our body that determines longevity in our life is the hip area and our legs. If we can stay stable in our bottom half, then we're less likely to slip, we're less likely to fall, to get hurt, and have injuries that will affect us long term and can lead to death at some point.
I did read that too. The biggest indicator of longevity, of how long you live, mm-hmm. is your leg strength.
Yes.
So yeah. If you have stronger legs, you literally are predicted to live longer.
Yes, exactly. Well, and that's the thing with ballet. There's very specific muscles that even in just like a regular lifting squat, you're not getting. And so the more muscles you can keep strong in your legs, the better off you are in that way. So with dancers, you really have to have, like if you're really into the ballet class, you're really have that beginner mindset. You have to keep that growth mindset as you're going along. And what they found is that as you're developing these ballet skills, you, instead of thinking of the steady decline as you age, you believe that you can develop these skills. You believe that you can be better. And so even as like a, let's say, because our kids have been in ballet since they were very little, as they go through their life, they are less likely in their older years to look at themselves as physically declining because they have had this physical development as they've gone through.
Specific to ballet,
okay. Even if they haven't continued ballet through their adulthood.
Oh, so just so, at some time in your life, then do you have to do it as a kid?
Not necessarily.
Okay, so you can get the same thing by being an adult and doing it.
Yeah, so you have a specific, like a reframe almost of your brain that you're not doing consciously. It seems to be a subconscious piece where you see yourself less likely to decline because you've had this skill development. Because ballet is very minute things. Like you're moving your toe a certain way, you're arching your foot, your hand is positioned a certain way. And so for whatever reason, as you're doing that, it seems to keep it as I can still, like I still have pretty ballet hands. I'm not as physically fit as I was, but I still have ballet hands.
Because you worked so hard on it before.
Yes, so hard. And it's hard to keep your hand in that ballet's position when you're straining, right? And so it's this interesting, like there's a girl in our class that has beautiful feet. Like, and that took so much work, and you keep those things, you keep these skills, even as you go through life and maybe you were out of ballet for a certain amount of years or whatever.
Okay.
So now your, Sudoku, people love Sudoku, right? And the crosswords.
The number puzzles.
Yeah. The number puzzles. Ballet is also a cognitive exercise and has the same benefit as keeping up with these different word game things that we play.
So you can either do a crossword puzzle or you can go to a ballet class. And ballet class gives you physical stuff too.
Yeah, so it has all these awesome benefits. You're gaining muscle memory and technique, and then it starts to sustain your mental capacity. So you have actually less mental deterioration if you continue doing ballet into your older years.
Okay, so even if you're old and you're crotchety and you're upset, do some squats, do some ballet, and then you'll live forever.
Live forever, literally.
Because your brain will be healthy and your legs will be strong so you don't ever fall.
Uh-huh, see?
Okay.
And then you just keep moving.
You heard it here. Jesse figured it out.
Figured it out. So there's a saying that's neurons that fire together, wire together.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
So I have used that saying forever, and I didn't know that Donald Hebb said it. H-E-B-B. Would that be Heb or Heeb?
Probably Heb.
Heb.
Donald Hebb.
He said that.
Okay.
So that's literally correct. As your brain is moving along, we don't necessarily continue to grow our brain and have we still have these different connections. You're still moving along, but like our mental capacity and our mental growth as adults is obviously significantly different than younger years, right?
Sure, yeah.
And so, however, when you're doing these mentally taxing things with your body, you're trying to get this muscle memory, you're trying to, you know, get these coordination pieces down, then the neurons actually wire together in your brain, which makes you more capable in other areas because your body's just more coordinated and you have these different muscle memories.
More coordinated cognitively or physically or both?
Both.
So
both.
You're even smarter?
Yes, you get smarter.
You're smarter. You go into the store and someone asks you a big math problem and boom, you get it, like the beautiful mind.
Just like the Scarecrow when Oz gives him the degree.
Uh-huh.
And then boom.
Boom, he's smart.
Yep, it's good to go.
All right.
Now, if you do it for 6 weeks they found that your self-awareness and your self-confidence goes up by 78%.
What? That is a made-up statistic. There's no way. It's like saying go to ballet for 6 weeks and you'll be confident with your life.
Yeah.
It's like the simplest fix ever.
That's what I'm telling you. 78%.
So I got to go back to ballet.
Well, because here's the thing. Ballet is a really interesting thing because what's all around you? Mirrors, critiques. You're trying to, you know, you have like all these different stimuli happening and it's all, you're on your own journey, right?
Yeah. Okay. I can see that.
Do you see that? So there's a lot of elements that play into this. So as you start gaining success, which takes about 6 weeks to do anything, right?
Sure.
Even if it's little things, right? Like you're able to point your toe a certain way. You're going to get self-confidence and self-awareness. That's just how that's going to be.
Okay. 6 weeks of ballet. Yeah. 78% increase in self-confidence and self-awareness.
Yeah. I'm throwing it down.
Oh, man. That's a big stat.
Yeah. It is a big stat.
Legit.
Well, and then you start to self-identify as a dancer. And as we get older, instead of thinking yourself like, okay, so I could say I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a therapist, I'm a 40-year-old. I can like categorize myself in these different pieces. But you start to self-identify as a dancer and suddenly you're elegant, you're good-looking, you are talented, you're doing these different things. And so you have this mental state shift. And this also is not conscious. Do you see how incredible this is and why I went into this in such depth?
Yep.
Because it's not, you're not consciously doing it. You're just going to dance class.
You don't have to think or give yourself positive affirmations. Mm-mm. You're not doing that. You just show up to class, you do some tippy toes.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, 6 weeks later, you are a dancer.
You are a dancer and you self-identify as that. I think this is just fantastic. And then let me just preface this, all of your reward systems in your brain go off when you are in dance class and you do something, even very minute, successfully.
So we talked about this, but go real quick, the reward systems in the brain.
Yeah. So the
dopamine.
Oh yes. Yeah. So dopamine.
Serotonin.
Oxytocin. Oxytocin. And then you have
endorphins.
Yeah. And various endorphins. But what's unique with this, the third pleasure system actually is, because we think of pleasure as the lack of cortisol or the lack of stress. It actually isn't. So a lot of reward systems, like if I ate a cupcake right now.
You get some reward system.
I would. And it would specifically, there's three, and I didn't write down the specific ones, but there's three main systems. Two of them are based on just pleasure itself. So like if I ate a cupcake, those two would fire. The third one's much harder to get because you have to be doing something that has cortisol. That's stressful to do it, right?
So stress reward.
Yes, stress reward. So with ballet, you do have an increase in cortisol because you're exercising and it's hard.
Right.
Right? And so your cortisol goes up. But then, so it'll go up and down and up and down as you go through your dance class.
Which is what we want with our cortisol. We don't want it down. Then we're just never stimulated.
Yeah. Cortisol is actually a fantastic thing. It's just we have too much of it at this point.
Too much all the time. Super elevated. Okay.
Yeah. So as it goes up and down, it hits that third reward system. And so all three reward systems are fired during dance class.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not done yet.
Oh, sorry.
And so you're being social without necessarily having to be social. So social norms are really interesting. Like if we put everybody in a room and said, go eat lunch, oh my goodness, that's really quite awkward, right? Because if you don't know people, you have to like come up with things. If we're in a dance class, we're all following these moves.
Right.
So we're a team, we're working together, we're doing these social things, but it's social without all of the like extra social pressures, I guess, of being on point.
Because you're in there doing the hokey pokey. They're telling you what to do.
You're whipping your head around, you know? So you're making friends, but you don't necessarily have to be friends out of dance class in order to have kind of that social bond. And what's really neat with dance class, especially as you go through and as an adult, the particular dance class at In Motion, the adult dance class, has a variety of folks, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And lots of older, younger, had babies.
We had a couple. We had a girl just out of high school with her mom.
Yes.
We had someone who's probably in her 70s.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, who used to be a ballerina, but just is getting there for some exercise. Mm-hmm. You know, you had a couple girlfriends that were just there
in their 20s, having fun. Yeah. Yeah.
So
it was a variety of people. And that's the thing. Very rarely would we all sit in a room together and be able to talk and joke and do something together, right?
Right.
And so it brings a lot of different people together. Specifically here in Utah, like we have a high LDS population.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, I'm not being LDS, might not be able to associate as much or as in depth, right?
Sure.
In ballet class, that doesn't matter.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're not church. You're just going to ballet.
Yeah, you're just there to enjoy each other.
So you get some bonding.
Yeah, our kiddos, I have every expectation that at some point they'll when they're old enough, when they hit their teenage years, that they'll come to adult ballet class with me, because the mom and daughter, they also take the hip hop class together, and it is what a joy that would be to be able to dance with your kiddo, and actually legitimately do that. Like with mountain biking, let's say, like if I'm riding with Sam, at this point I probably can't keep up with her. Some of the things she's doing with enduro and stuff, like there's certain things I won't be able to keep up with her. But if we go to ballet class, she's on her journey, I'm on mine, but we're still together.
Yeah.
And so that's a very unique piece of that. There's a social acceptance to that. There's empathy towards others with that. It brings such a beautiful peace into our world,
and
that we
social culture.
Yeah, that we just don't get to get in other places. So it's pretty amazing.
I like it. I won't have time to go because the professional dance company that I'm shooting for is too busy. I just won't have time to come to the regular person ballet anymore.
Oh, you're just all professional now?
Well, I mean, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it successfully.
That's right.
And that means I'm going to be professional. Probably
actually,
leave my job. I should probably leave my job now.
Yeah, I'll just make sure you have time to dedicate to it.
Really go for it. Have you seen the male professional ballerinas? Their legs are bigger than my torso.
Well, and they are nuts. I'm sorry, but your leaps are very good. I have to say, I was kind of irritated.
No big deal.
I was like, what?
But my legs are a little tiny in the circumference-wise. Anyway, all right, we're digressing. But this is amazing. It really is. It's one of those tangible things when you say, hey, I'm standing in front of the mirror. I'm trying to tell myself that I'm okay, that I identify with something.
Right.
Those are great, too. Don't get me wrong. We have episodes
Absolutely,
on
and
that.
Those are important.
Those are important, too. But this is a tangible thing that you can just go to and let it take you, and you get all those benefits.
Yes, and that's what I love about this. You don't have to necessarily, other than get yourself to ballet class and participate with a growth mindset, just go.
Okay.
Like, you don't have to come up with a bunch of steps. You just need to go.
Okay, I like this one. I was skeptical of this one, but it's had good stuff.
Well, and you enjoyed ballet class. I love that.
I did.
I didn't know how honestly it was going to go, but I was like, Miss Lee might make it fun. It'll be
she
good.
Did. She did. I was surprised at how much fun I had at ballet.
Mm-hmm.
So you should go out there and try it. If it's not your thing, give it a shot. You'll never know. You'll never know till you try. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, when you're part of that professional dance company,
the hokey pokier.
Thank you, Morning Struggle. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ty and Jesse, because now I'm a world famous ballerina.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wearing giant hats and I'm jumping around at weddings. And it's amazing.
It's all because of you.
It's all because of you guys. You let us know. All right, well, there you go. So let's get into a quick coffee review.
Yes.
And then action plan. We're going to talk about how to just go online and find a ballet class and sign up for it.
I mean,
kind of,
but I'm going to give some other options. Like I want you to go to a ballet class. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
And there is a lot of,
but
like,
if we're not there yet.
If you're not quite there yet,
how to get, work your way up to it.
Yes.
I like that one. Okay. So coffee, action plan, close it up, ballet.
I drank pots and pots and pots and pots of strong black coffee, trying to keep my sleepy soul awake. But the sleepiness still comes along, and when it does, it's fast and strong. I end up with a bad case of the shakes.
All right, fourth wall. We do this once in a while. We pull mm-hmm. the fourth wall back.
To the side.
So we had a microphone issue
mm-hmm.
where one of our microphones was giving super bad feedback.
It was always mine.
And so we had to order a backup microphone. But instead of like just getting a whole new system, we tried to get the other microphone. But they don't make it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to order it from Germany or wherever the heck it was. And an old microphone clocksmith guy had mm-hmm. to put it together
mm-hmm.
and then put it on a boat and get it to us. So we reviewed this coffee a while ago.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So I have all of the numbers and everything.
Okay. So we're still on this Bones Coffee Company. This is the last one.
But we had to end on the King.
Okay. So
the Pumpkin King.
This is the Pumpkin King coffee from Bones Coffee Company.
Yes.
It is another pumpkin one. Oh, no, it's a praline.
Well, it's a pumpkin praline.
Pumpkin praline.
So it's a pumpkin, and the pumpkin wasn't overwhelming.
This one was okay.
Yeah. Pumpkin and pecan praline was, I thought it was really good. It's a medium roast.
Mm-hmm.
We went through the entire bag of coffee, like Oogie Boogie, we did not.
Right. And if you want to look at the bag and get a review and the newsletter, go to morningstruggle.podbean.com. The links are in the show notes.
Yeah. If you look at them, you can go, you can sign up for the newsletter.
Or you can download them.
Yeah. And it has all of our, coffee reviews on there.
Yeah, so you can see the bag. The bags are cool.
They are really cool. Like, and I'm going to keep them. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to keep them all.
How do we review this one?
So we have the aroma I had was 5. You had 3.5s down the entire line.
Yeah, because it was a little better than a typical cup of coffee.
Yeah, because it had a little bit of flavor, but it wasn't overwhelming.
Five on the bag. I gave it a 5 on the bag.
What? You changed. I did math. There was so much math I did.
Just add 0.25.
No, it doesn't work like that. So anyway. This is your quote. You ready?
Let's hear the quote.
Remember, this was weeks ago. Yeah. So, looks like flavored coffee, smells like flavored coffee. It must be Jesse's turn to pick the coffee.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess that's what it was. But I really actually enjoyed these, mainly for the box it came in and the bags. I did like my favorite was the Rough Weather.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one. And then this one.
Yeah. So Bones Coffee Company, it's just flavored coffee.
So if
you're going to give it as a gift and the person's not a coffee snob, sure, it's
so cute.
The bags look cute. It looks great. If the person knows anything about coffee, you do this, you lose a friend.
That's not true.
You lose a friend.
That's not true.
Look, I'm just not a big flavored coffee guy. If you're a big flavored coffee person, you will really like it. And if you like Disney and Nightmare Before Christmas, you'll love it.
And they have, like, if you're putting together like a cool little basket of some kind, they have, like, Spider-Man has one. They have a bunch of Marvel things.
Oh, there you go.
They have, what's the one where he has the Night of the Living Dead? No.
The Night of the Living Dead? That's Homeward Bound.
No.
With the dogs and the cats, and they try to get home?
No.
No?
No, it's like kind of he has the chainsaw, and it's the
Evil Dead.
The Evil Dead. They have a whole Evil Dead line, which I almost purchased, but it is very flavored. Like,
yeah.
So
we're getting off. What's the next thing we're going to start?
Well, so I have some really cool ones that are specific to companies that we really think they do good things.
Give us a hint.
So they help just one. Out. Ooh. There is a company that I bought a few different that has all of their proceeds go to specific nonprofits.
Okay.
And it's really, I don't know. That's what I'm really looking for now, is that people who donate money of their profits.
Wow, that was such a broad teaser. We have no idea what you're talking about right now. So it's okay.
Yeah. So
these are regular coffees, right?
They are regular coffees. They're roasted specific, and it's more about the region is what I was looking for, like regional coffee.
Okay.
Versus like
a national coffee.
A national coffee or like a smattered with flavoring coffee.
But people can get these online, so it's not like you can only get it at your local state or whatever.
The next ones I'm very, very excited about, because if you guys can go on their websites, and we'll get into that more later on, but it really is really good benefits, and they're really helping people. So that's really what I'm looking for. So if you guys have any suggestions of places that do those things, I would love to hear about it.
So so you can go on, grab that newsletter, you can see these bags and do that before you purchase, and that's got all the reviews on it as well.
Yep.
Jessica gets all that stuff squared away. All right. So anyway, let's go on to the action plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to talk about how to sign up for ballet class or doing
where to get a cod piece.
Where to get a professional male ballerina get up.
Mm-hmm. Let's hope you make the most of it, my boy.
Okay. Why don't they wear hats anymore? The ballerina hats, like the big feathered hats, and jump around like cuckoo birds.
That's a good point.
Is it because they're cumbersome?
Well, yeah. You have a giant thing on your head.
Can't be doing the leaps and the spins.
Well, yeah. Like, think about it. If you're, like, flying through the air, your head's going to, like, ricochet back. They still have pretty feather things.
Next thing you know, you got a duty wine fracture. So, all right. Let's get into how to action plan this. I'm still confused.
I know.
Go online, search ballet, sign up. Done. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
No. So I want you to, if you're not into ballet, if we're not ready to make that leap, I would think, pun intended.
Whoa, yeah.
Yeah. So I do want you to try out a ballet class of some kind. That's my ultimate objective.
Every city across the nation is going to have some kind of adult ballet class.
Yeah. And if you don't like the one that you went to, go to a different one because they usually have something.
Some of them, we have like Ballet West here, which is the professional dance company. Yeah. And they do classes for people.
Uh-huh.
But you're talking ex-professional ballerinas, college student ballerinas.
Super intimidating.
You went to that and it was intimidating. And you did not enjoy it.
No, I had a rough time with that because like these were literally like 20-year-olds.
In their prime, dancing professionally or semi-professionally or in college.
Yeah.
Where you go, I just want a mom's class.
Yeah, like I just want to hang out and improve.
Right.
And that was the big thing is like, I can't even enjoy this. It was really upsetting. But that's why like with In Motion, our kids have been going forever.
Sure.
Right? It's really close to us and fantastic.
If your kids are in dance or you have friends whose kids are in dance, just inquire at that studio. I bet you they have either A, an adult dance class, or B, they'll put one on.
Yeah.
If you have enough moms that say, can you do a ballet, adult ballet class? Mm-hmm. I guarantee that ballet studio owner is going to say, we absolutely can do that.
Yeah, because it is a lot of fun. And I think it's anytime you bring more families in, because I have to say, like with In Motion, it hits every demographic, every kiddo, every age. So it brings entire families there. Like our kids are being raised there. Like it's neat to see. And so most places want to be a part of that.
Right.
So I would inquire about that. Check around, shop around, all that good stuff. Now, if you don't want to do that, you can try something online.
So go to the tubes?
Go to the tubes. Okay. You can, it takes away some of the benefits,
that
I would say.
The social aspect, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. Because like, I mean, Miss Lee came and corrected your arms, right?
She pointed many times.
Yeah. So many times. And there's pieces to that where it's like you did improve. Like, you know, she was helping you improve. You improve. There's like social elements of being with people. But
maybe start there so you don't feel like you're a complete beginner. So you just maybe have a little bit of background. So when you show up, you're not worried that you absolutely know or know absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So
like maybe, what's a plie? And what's
maybe learn some moves and then go in. So you say, oh, I know what I'm doing. But even going in as a beginner, if you let everybody know you've never been to a dance class.
Oh, they're so excited you're there.
They're so excited that you're there. Yeah, it's a small community.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the thing is, I mean, I want you to get some form of this, but the best thing would be going in socially and doing it.
Okay.
Now, if we're not ready for ballet just yet, I want you to brainstorm new things that you can try. So what we're looking for is things that have various levels of technical development in the same class.
So give me some examples.
Some examples. Cooking.
Okay.
Painting.
Okay.
Yoga.
Okay.
A gardening class, not just gardening, but gardening class, woodworking, and bodybuilding.
Okay, so steps where you have a beginner, an intermediate, advanced. There's steps to go through each one of the processes, and it's an actual class that you go to.
And more than likely, there's different groups mushing into that same class.
Right.
Right? Because like a beginner and an intermediate could go to the same class, and they would still get the same benefit.
Because
it's one of those things where you're kind of on your own journey, but you're doing it all together. That seems to be a very important element to this thing.
Okay, so you go to a spin class. Not everybody's going to put it on the same intensity and spin the same amount of watts.
Mm-hmm.
But you're all there together, having a good old time, pretending to go up a hill. Don't know. I don't get that. But I get it. I understand.
Right? Yeah. So you're trying to various levels of technical development. That's the key piece that they found that from the studies creates the most benefit.
Okay.
And then instead of easy to follow exercises, so I'm trying to think of an example of that, but where you're like squat down, point your toes, like what we're looking for is something that challenges you. So physically and mentally.
So super precise. Seriously, ballet,
I had to hold my
thumbs and my fingers a certain way.
Not like holding a hamburger.
Yeah, it was intense how she wanted my wrist, the angle of my wrist.
Mm-hmm.
It was just on my hands.
Yeah.
So you want something that is incredibly precise.
Yes.
So something like machining or woodworking or even cooking, like how to chop precisely.
Yeah.
Like find a class that's not just cut up the cucumber.
Put it in there.
It's like we're going to cut these exactly, you know, a half inch each one of these. And so you get like real precision, or you're going to hold it your knife a specific way.
Yes.
So find one of those kind of classes.
Yes. You want it to be very, very specific, less easy to follow. easy to follow, is enjoyable, but doesn't have that third reward system kick in.
Okay. So ballet is an easy way to get it because it's going to be that regardless of who you go
to. Yeah, we know for a fact there's studies that show it, all of that. What this does is it creates a better sense of self and confidence, and it's just more enjoyable in the long term. You might struggle the first couple of classes. I know that, like, after having babies, getting back into it, I was like, oh, I am really out of shape. And I felt kind of uncomfortable, but it's the encouragement of the people around you and being like, no, keep at it. And now it is very enjoyable and I feel very confident. So I think it's a good piece that way. And then last, I need you just to go do it. And I need you to go do it for 6 weeks.
6 weeks. So stick with it for 6 weeks. So buy a 6 week pass.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, I'm going to do this for 6 weeks.
Yep, I'm going to go. And then you're going to take it seriously.
Do you have to go how many times a week? Just once a week?
It didn't specify the times a week. This particular class was only one day a week for 6 weeks. So it's actually not that much.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah, it's not too bad at all. But the idea is that you're taking it seriously and you're not giving yourselves out or giving yourselves an out. Right. So like if I go into class, but I say, I'm just feeling sick. I'm giving myself an out for if I'm not doing very well.
Mm.
Right? So that's a psychological trick we play on ourselves. Instead of being like, you know what, I'm going to give it my best. Like, I'm feeling a little awkward. Being really honest with yourself about it and just going in and doing the best that you can. And you don't necessarily, I want you to keep in mind, you don't need to stay in your social gender roles. So if you are male and you go to a ballet class, I think that's just as much of a benefit as if you're a woman and you go to like a machining class.
Yeah, probably right? More benefit.
Yeah, because
you're probably more out of your comfort zone.
Out of your comfort zone, you need to go in with that growth mindset, but go do it and go do it for 6 weeks and really just put yourself out there without handicapping yourself, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. So find a class. YouTubes, if you can't find a class, you're having a little bit of stage fright.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
Yeah.
Or find yourself a super technical, progressive kind of class
mm-hmm.
that's in person
mm-hmm.
for just go do it.
Just go do it for 6 weeks. I want you to just try it for six weeks.
Give it six weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a lot of these habits. You got to give these habits about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, 21 days, three weeks for a lot of the habits, right?
Yeah. It really, I don't actually know. I've seen so many studies on this. I know that the study for this specific ballet class or these ballet technique classes was 6 weeks.
You got to give ballet 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll get back in there. Tell Miss Lee I'm showing up
I'll
for the next one.
Know.
Oh my gosh. All right. That's it.
That's all we got. And the thing is, a lot of the benefits are subconscious. So you don't have to go in and have a reframe or have a certain something. You just go in, you do it, you have a growth mindset, you're good to go.
Okay. It's a little passive active.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, it's great.
Easy. So that is ballet.
Mm-hmm.
History of ballet, a little science of brain and body, and then how to go and just make this thing automatic.
Yes.
I like it. I'm going to go back, let everybody know. Here we go. So thank you everybody for joining us. As always, we really appreciate it for you spending your time. You can go out there and
build a better you.
Thanks, guys.